Well, hi, everyone. Welcome to our Wednesday night Bible study. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we're thankful for all you do. We thank you for the time we can study your word, and I pray that you'd open our hearts and our minds, and we would apply it in our lives. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Tonight, we're going to be in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And we're going to be looking at spiritual disciplines. In fact, the point is that our growth in Christ occurs when we practice the spiritual disciplines of Christianity. We're going to look at some things to do to experience spiritual health. These disciplines will help us experience the life and the joy that Jesus wants for each one of us. Now, folks, we all have habits. Some good, some not so good. Of course, I don't have any bad habits, but Rochelle isn't here to rebut me, so I guess I can say that right now. Oh yeah, I do have a few habits I might change. There are things, though, that we have, for instance, like starting the day in prayer. Folks, that's really good. How about eating healthy meals? It's also good. Exercising our body. Treating others the way we want to be treated. All those things are good habits to get into. Anything that'll help us grow strong physically and in our walk with the Lord is good. And we would do well to discipline ourselves to do these regularly and faithfully. Now let's look at our scripture. 1 Timothy chapter 4 in the first three verses. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving, those who know the truth. You know, God has provided so many good things for us, but this world really seeks to distort them. Paul says this is going to happen, referring to the latter times. And that has the meaning of from Christ's ascension until his return, that's speaking of the latter times. And as that end gets closer, the world will be busy giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. Sadly, that's what's happening today. We see those who depart from the faith, people who claim to follow Jesus, but such claims don't prove that they have new life or any relationship in the Lord Jesus. Just saying it doesn't make it so. Departing from the teachings of Christianity and failing to live for the Lord Jesus gives evidence that such people never had a relationship with the Lord to begin with. Those who depart from the faith didn't lose their salvation. They never had any salvation to begin with. They were led astray by liars whose consciences have been seared with a hot iron. People who offer counterfeit spirituality. These hypocrites seek to distort the things of God. And in our passage, Paul gives us two examples. The first one is marriage. Now, the church in Ephesus, where Timothy was the pastor, was under attack from ascetics. Now, that's a group of people who renounced all kinds of material comfort. Didn't matter what it was. They didn't want to have anything to do with it if it had to do with anything that had to do with the world. They prohibited people from getting married. Can you imagine that? You see, the covenant of marriage is God's good gift. And his people should celebrate it. I mean, Jesus endorsed marriage. And that word marriage, let's define it. The joining together of one man and one woman in a lifelong relationship. Did you hear me? Let me say it again. It is joining together of one man and one woman in a lifelong relationship. We don't hear a lot about that today, do we? Jesus, in Matthew chapter 19, said, "Have you not read that in the beginning the Lord made male and female? And he said, for this reason, a man will leave his father and his mother and will be united with his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." In fact, in the beginning of Jesus' ministry, In John chapter 2, he went to a wedding feast, performed his first miracle there. Marriage is God's good gift, and it's the foundation for family life in the home. Marriage is a part of God's original design. When Jesus quoted, he was quoting from Genesis chapter 1. But not only did Paul talk about marriage, he talked about food. The deceivers will also demand that people abstain from eating certain foods which God has created for them to eat. Can you imagine people telling me I can't eat Reese's peanut butter cups? I can't have blueberry pie? Somebody put a bowl of chili in front of me and I can't eat it? I don't think so. Peter said, what God has cleansed, we can eat. Marriage and food are wonderful gifts that God has created for us, which we should receive with thanksgiving. And I believe that these self-denying practices really distort our understanding of God and our gratitude toward Him and our walk with Him. Now look at verse 4 in 1 Timothy 4. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. For it is set apart by the word of God and prayer. If you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of good doctrine when you have carefully followed, but reject profane and old wives' fables. So, we shouldn't reject the things that God has given us. We need to receive them with thanksgiving for God's good gifts. God's creation is good. All the time. Remember on the sixth day, after God had created everything, He looked at it and He said, it is very good. In fact, when I really have something that Rochelle has given us for dinner and she's prepared it and it is exceptional, I call it a 131. That's Genesis 1:31. It is very good. In fact, He made no exceptions, folks. He didn't make any mistakes. There were no errors. You realize the word oops is not in God's vocabulary? Paul said, every creature of God is good. Therefore, we can receive it all with thanksgiving. We're to receive His good gifts and then be thankful for them. Paul specifically mentioned marriage and food, but it's also true with all of the things that God has provided for us. The gift really reflects the giver. And the gifts from the hands of God are holy. They are to be accepted with thankful hearts, received prayerfully, used responsibly, all according to His word. And while it's true that all the creation is good, our abuse of what He has provided is bad. Using the early examples of marriage and food, when we abuse sexuality or use it outside of God's design, we are headed for destruction. Also, when we abuse food, it leads to our harm. Now, you got to understand that Paul didn't teach freedom without limits. He urged Timothy to correct the deceivers, the false teaching, by focusing the believer's attention on applying God's truth. Folks, our conduct and what we do on a daily basis must always be in line with the unchanging teachings of the Word of God. Not on society's ever-changing standards. But you know what? That's what's happening in today's culture. For example, I read a recent Gallup poll that found the majority of Americans, the majority, and you'll hear what majority I'm talking about, think the following things are okay. Divorce, 77% think divorce is okay. 71% believe premarital sex is okay. And 63% say homosexuality is an accepted practice. Well, folks, those are not in accord with biblical teachings. God's unchanging word, not society's consensus of actual behavior, is to be our guide. Knowing God's truth is a starting point for shaping our conduct according to His truth. When we focus on God's truth, we can avoid those profane and old wives' fables. Now, by profane and old wives' fables, Paul's referring to the teachings of abstinence from food and from marriage, and the principle expands beyond those two teachings, avoiding falling for silly myths. We must know the hallmarks of truth, and you know where we find those? In the Word of God. Now look at verse 7. Exercise yourself toward godliness, for bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, for to this end we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. That scripture is for those who believe that only the elect are saved. He is the Savior of everyone, especially those who believe. Now, we ended the previous section with the command to avoid profane and old wives' fables in verse 7. But it's immediately followed by the second command, exercise yourself rather to godliness. The first command is incomplete without the second. Just refraining from doing what's wrong is incomplete unless we want to do what's right. Avoiding silly myths is incomplete unless we want to train ourselves in godliness. You see, believers are to discipline themselves so that they can live out God's plan for their lives. Folks, I will tell you this, that kind of training is hard work. You don't find any shortcuts in achieving the best. But you know what? It doesn't keep people from trying to enjoy the benefits of training with little or no effort. I read about a study scientists had done at the Salk Institute of Biological Studies in La Jolla, California. They're testing a pill with the same effects as exercise. You get increased endurance and weight control in a pill. Well, maybe that'll come true. Maybe science will come through with something like that. But you know what? They'll never find shortcuts to spiritual growth. Never. Physical exercise is good for us, but spiritual discipline is even more important because it has eternal consequences. That's why believers must be willing to train. We both labor and suffer reproach because it's worth the effort. And when we practice spiritual disciplines, God can work in us to produce godliness in us. So, to avoid silly myths and gospel counterfeits, we should study the Word of God. To fight temptation, we ought to believe and pray and memorize the Scripture. But as important as spiritual disciplines are, our confidence is not to be in spiritual disciplines. Our confidence and our hope are in God, who's working through our obedience to conform us to the image of His Son. That's the reason we're here. God will use our disciplined training to produce godliness in our lives. Amen? All right, that ends our study for tonight. Next week, we're going to be studying knowing God. Now, I'm not talking about knowing about God. Almost everybody knows about God. I'm talking about really knowing God, because God is good all the time. So, folks, we'll see you this Sunday in church.